Yo, it's your boy, the director, Chris Keeling, coming to you live January 9th, 2021 for another Geek Cultural Experience podcast. Like I said on a previous podcast for another brand, sorry it's been a while. Life was crazy. 2020 was the year that... Anyways, with me tonight, as always, the lovely, talented Sarah the Ted.
Hello.
And also with me tonight is a guest who is a collaborator, friend, co-writer, creator, does the sound on my sets, Chris Matthews.
Sup, all?
With that being said, we're going to talk about what's to be expected in the year 2021 in geekdom and entertainment, because let's face it, entertainment has a lot to do with being geeks. So, with that being said, where shall we start first?
How about conventions, since that's the start of everything, basically.
I just want to say this is my first geek cultural experience, and I feel like I have to dress like Urkel.
It's okay.
Okay. We're broadcasting from our new office, by the way.
Our office, which I have hashtagged, if you follow social media that has the photos and everything, the branding room, because we do three separate brands in this place. With that being said, we're going to talk about conventions. So let's say we live in a world of social distancing. You don't get that at conventions. Last year, for what we had for conventions was a lot of YouTube videos online, and that was basically it for panels.
Well, yeah, we did. WonderCon did their convention online, which was actually done very well because I watched some of it. And they also did, for cosplayers, they had a spot where they could video in their cosplay and they would share it and stuff like that. So that was kind of cool to see. You know, because that's a big thing that I like to do for conventions is go, you know, cosplay. So that was kind of interesting.
So, how do we feel it's going to be different? Honestly, I think there's going to be more online options. Because pandemic has been the subject of pretty much all the brands that I've been doing. Has something to do with it. Even this had it on gaming and whatever last year. I honestly think this online thing isn't going to go away. I actually think it's going to continue. But even when we get to whatever normal is going to be, the new normal, again, I think it's going to be an option that's still there. I actually think, though, paneling will be a, like, subscription-based. Like, oh, you pay $5 and you can watch the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel or whatever. That's what I honestly see it going to.
I think autographs are going to be right out, or if somebody having somebody sign in your book. I don't know how that's going to work online. I don't think it's going to work at all. But so those of you who like your book signed, maybe they'll just have to have a drawing or a lottery for the first people that sign in or something.
Well, at conventions, though, what they normally do with that, depending on how big the panel is that they're letting people having the celebrity sign, they have a drawing. You have to have a wristband, and that many people that have a wristband go in and get their autograph. That's how that would work. But
I think that'll translate to online, you know. Much like when you get, let's talk about the holy pinnacle of conventions, San Diego Comic-Con. You got to be on to get the tickets, and if you're not on right at the right time, you ain't getting in. I see that's where at least some of it is going to go. I think that once we are past the social distancing, I think you'll see it come back, but not nearly in the form that it is, because yeah. I like the Celebrity Alley. We got to talk to people like Sam Jones, who played Flash Gordon in the 1980s movie. We met Lou Ferrigno,
the Hulk.
We've met several people over, and it's always nice to get that face to face talking to them and showing the appreciation. You know, I got to meet my idol, which is always weird because when I talk about this, Sarah got more excited than I did when I got to meet Stan Lee. Who is... Yeah, he's...
Rest in peace.
Yes, and yeah. He's pretty much influenced every aspect of my life in some way. But yeah, that's how I see. I do see a lot more tickets to get tickets or try to win an autograph. I see that going online. But I also see the presentations of panels being more out there for cyberspace interwebs than what we currently have.
I never considered this before, but it does. Do conventions have a problem with ticket scalping like rock concerts did years ago?
Yeah, WonderCon, it's real easy to get a ticket through them, but you got to have your ID number, you got to have everything just a certain way, like with San Diego Comic-Con, because they're through the International Comic Book Convention, and you have to do it a certain way, and they'll know if it's a fake ticket. Yeah. So they'll know, and because your name is attached to everything.
They don't mess around.
Your name's attached to everything. But back to conventions, though, from what I was gathering, LA Comic Con wanted to try to do a convention in September. You know, they have their thing, which was currently called, before LA Comic Con, the Stan Lee Kamikaze, and they were thinking that Governor Newsom was going to lift things so that we could do maybe a small convention in person. Well, they had planned on doing a thing where they sold so many tickets online for time slots, like 9 o'clock in the morning till 2. They would have, or till 3 or something like that, they would have this many people go into the convention hall and go to panels. And then from 3 to 5, you had, or 3 to whatever, same amount of time as 9 to 3 or whatever, you would have from whatever, that many people would go to that part of the panel, and then you had a later evening group go, and that's how they were planning on doing it. I wonder if that would work for WonderCon or Comic-Con to social distance, you know, so you wouldn't have so many people in the convention.
Well, it also just made me think, if we take this, right, what about, would it expand a convention? Like, because, you know, generally a convention's a 3-day weekend. Unless you're Comic-Con, then you're a 5-day, because generally your Wednesday night is your preview night for vendors and artists and whoever. And that's not accessible in general to the general public. But then you have your convention days. It makes me wonder if they start limiting things. Are they going to make a convention instead of like a weekend, like a whole week, that you could buy in like Monday through Wednesday, or how many days? And would that be logistically, would that be financially feasible? Would it be better? Would it be worth, you know?
It just occurred to me, I was wondering if cosplay is going to change, because one of the great things about going to a convention is dressing up in the crowd and having everybody see whose costume is different. And it's, if you don't have the big crowds, is it as fun? It's going to be like a Halloween party with your friends at most or something, you know.
Yeah, I wonder that too, since I am a cosplayer, you know. I wonder that. I mean, for social distancing wise, you could always, you know, costumes are easy to make to social distance. You know, so you feel safer and healthier, you know, when you go into a convention. But, yeah, because...
However, have you seen... Oh, I've seen costumes. I know the ones I prefer.
Barely.
There's very little that'll protect you from anything.
Yeah, barely nothing at all,
yeah. I'm just saying.
I am shocked with those people.
Say no more.
Yeah.
The one costume I think I was impressed with was... It was the two... The previous one before this one. A lady dressed up like Blood Rain, and I was just like,
wow. I was impressed with Red Sonja, because Red Sonja and her bikini, her chainmail bikini thing, I don't think I could totally walk around in that, but you know, but other than that, but yeah, you know, I don't know, you know, because it's going to be different. The vibe's going to be off, because like when you go to Comic-Con itself, San Diego Comic-Con, you have all those people wanting to stand in line for Hall H. Because Hall H is the big hall that shows either Marvel, DC, Warner Brothers, whatever, that's the big hall, and that can pack a lot of people. But you know how when it's like going into buildings, it's like every other seat has to be emptied.
Right.
You know, because you can't sit close together. You know, how are they going to do that?
Was it Warner that just sold their whole catalog and it's changing the game? It's going to affect the superhero movies too.
Okay, so that actually segues into something we're going to talk about. So let's talk about the way movies are going to come out. Okay, so honestly, the movie theater, it's been on its way out for a while. I know people hate to hear it, may hate to admit it, but the truth is due to pirating and everything, movies aren't necessarily making the kind of money that they used to. And they've been toying about what other ways can they present movies. I do see, and I have seen, that the drive-in theater is making a comeback, which, yay.
Kind of makes sense.
So guess what? We're getting ready for another baby boom. Anyway.
The passion pit is back, people.
So with that being said, Warner Brothers did something big towards the middle end-ish of December. Now, how movies make their money is it's all about box office. And we're not saying, oh, Warner Brothers, they have their other companies that come in and make movies with them. Like Legendary Pictures is gone to court with them because of Godzilla versus King Kong. The reason isn't many people going to theaters for a box office. Wonder Woman made like $17 million its first weekend, which honestly, for not going to the theaters, that's actually kind of impressive, but not for the budget it makes. So starting with Wonder Woman 1984, Warner Brothers decided that they were going to do theater and their HBO Max streaming service same day release. And all the secondary companies that work for them, like, whoa, where do we get a piece of the pie? And I get it. I totally get it. As a filmmaker, I kind of understand it a little bit. I try to stay out of the financial part because it's draining. Anyways, so I get it, but I'm not going to lie. Being one who went to film school and having these debates, Netflix movies are making, are taking Oscars, they're taking Emmys.
Yeah, we're seeing a renaissance, a new golden age of television in some ways.
So, exactly. So what you're going to see is this is the way it's going to go. Look, movies are going to be made for streaming. As a matter of fact, from what I was understanding, Disney is going in and rewriting all their contracts for all their shows, all their movies, saying, oh, if we can't release Black Widow in theaters and we've pushed it off 2 years because we want that box office money, we want that $700 million box office, which in all reality, while we do this pandemic, is not going to happen. Because it just will keep, it'll keep ballooning, the virus will spread and spread even more. It kills me because I'm a theater person. I love the movie experience. But I see streaming is going to become the way. Disney Plus is going to make a lot more money because it's got a huge following. And the fact is, let's face it, Star Wars, Marvel, We'll just stay with those two, are two of the biggest franchises. Even their worst movies make more money than most movies that come out in theaters. And they're like, oh, well, we made $150 million opening weekend, and that's a bad weekend. You know, so streaming's the way it's going to go. Now, as the independent filmmaker, that means that puts us into that same kind of competition. Oh, we got to compete with Disney. Truth is, it's like going to ice cream. There's so many flavors out there. You can find what you like. Maybe you're like, eh. Maybe you want to watch our 10, 15-minute short that we do. Maybe you want to watch a Disney movie. Hey, there's room for everybody to enjoy it. It's just the financial aspects of it is changing.
I'm wondering if it's going to be like punk rock, where all the big movie record labels kind of died and the little independent ones took over. I'm wondering if we're going to see a renaissance of maybe garage theaters with, you know, the art houses of the 70s and having independent filmmakers show their new works in small, intimate crowds that you can control COVID or something. And it's like a private party or something like that. Because I still think no matter how big the big screen TVs get at home, people still love being overwhelmed by that huge. I remember watching Star Wars when it came out. One of the great things was having the big curved screen and, you know, the TIE fighters coming at you and stuff. And it was just awesome. And there's just no real way to watch a movie but like that sometimes. I mean, what are you going to do? Tear out your wall and put in a huge drive-in theater screen in your house? There's a limit to what you can do at home. But yeah, it's definitely not going to be what it used to be. That's for sure. I think the huge multiplex theaters they've seen their day.
Yeah. Well, I know people that have like 8 kids, you know, and it's like they never can go to the theater because they can't afford it.
Yeah.
You know, and streaming services, you know, they can afford a $6 streaming service or, you know, or whatnot, and be able to watch a movie here and there. And that's way cheaper than having to spend almost over $100 just to take your kids to go see a Disney movie.
It's ironic that one of the reasons movies thrived during the 30s and the Depression is it was a cheap escape. I mean, tickets weren't very much and everybody went to go see them, but you didn't have TVs and home theater and things like that then. So it's the whole zeitgeist and dynamic is different.
Yeah. Well, with me, I like going to the theater to see, like, you know, like when we saw Lord of the Rings or, like, you said, Star Wars or, you know, epic movies, big movies that are meant for the screen, you know, stuff that are meant for IMAX, you know.
Yeah.
Where it feels like you're there with the movie. Those are great to see in theaters.
But I'm sorry to interrupt. Mm-hmm. That reminded me. I was reading something the other day about how someone said the theory was that theaters aren't going to die out completely because I don't remember who it was. I think it was Josh Brolin said that because when a movie, part of the reason there's a movie theater is because it is it's supposed to be a group experience that afterward you could talk to your neighbor. Oh, what'd you think of this? Oh, what you think of that? Taking it back to when we went and saw a movie. So I went and saw the second 50 Shades of Grey movie with my wife because she likes that stuff. And the ladies behind us. Okay.
I'm plugging my ears.
On. So I'm going to say this. For my male friends who are listening to this, so there is nothing like going to see a movie like 50 Shades of Grey in a theater full of horny middle-aged women. It is the most entertaining experience ever. So for that, Sarah and I were watching. We had these two ladies behind us who were commenting so much. He was pulling her by the chains and like, ooh, he could do that to me. And I'm dying. I'm just laughing the whole time. And she's laughing, whether she was laughing at what they said or she's laughing because I'm laughing. It's funny. And the ladies are watching her and she looked like, because she was laughing so hard, she was crying. They're like, oh, that's so sweet. She's so happy that Christian proposed to
Anastasia.
And she's all like, no, this is just the funniest thing. And I'm just like, dude, I wanted to bring my friends. Go, you don't need to watch this movie. Just listen, because good God, it was the greatest thing. And after the movie, I turned around, I looked at the ladies, and I said, thank you. And they're like, oh, why? I'm like, because they literally made that movie 80 times better. I was just like, I hadn't been so entertained seeing a movie in a long time. She go, well, my husband and I went and go see John Wick 2. I was going to go see 50 Shades of Grey. I'm just like, you know what? It's okay. Because, man, I'm not gonna lie. That is perhaps my single greatest experience in a movie theater that wasn't in a movie I was really into. I loved the commentary, hearing the ladies all around go, "Ooh yeah, ooh yeah." It was just great. Oh my God, it was hilarious.
But yeah, I see what you're saying with stuff like that. But you know, it's also like with the kids, you know, our kids, when they like a movie, afterwards they come out of the theater pretending to play that movie. You know, like a superhero character.
Like little Chris being Black Panther.
Oh yeah, you know, thinking they were all going to be in Wakanda or something, you know? And it's.
Hey, I wanted to be in Wakanda.
Yeah, you know, and it's great.
That would be a pretty badass place
to be. It's great to see. Yeah. Because, you know, or also, like, our son here, you know, he's autistic, and so when Ridgecrest Cinema did their days where they had, you know, people, the kids with disabilities to go in and watch the movie, and it was great because then he could go and see, be there with people just like him that are sitting there watching the movie with him, you know, and it made things special because... Yeah, kids with disabilities can go home and watch a movie all they want, but to be able to get together in a group of everybody that is just like them, to see it together, it makes things more special.
Well, the irony of, or at least the sad part of seeing the big screen, is it's the closest we have to functioning virtual reality. I mean, all the virtual reality helmets I've used in the past are nothing compared to going in and seeing some big epic thing on the big screen. It overwhelms you and it surrounds you and you become drawn into the movie. I remember watching Aliens when it came out and the big fight at the end. It was just like you were sucked into it. When you have a smaller screen at home, it's just not quite, you get into it, but it's not quite the same way.
True. Yeah, I get that, you know, and it's like, what was it? Like, we went and saw The Watchmen in IMAX. And that, watching it at home, it's a good movie, but seeing it in IMAX was just way better.
Sarah didn't care for an IMAX with Dr. Manhattan having like a 6-foot member just hanging out
naked
there.
Naked Dr. Manhattan, where I'm sitting there next to my little brother.
As the third party here who is gay, I'm highly amused by my co-host's opinions.
That was...
Look at that!
Yeah, but when you sit there with your little brother, though, yeah, watching that Will Ferrell for the first time with your little brother, you're like, no, thank you.
Yeah, well, hi, Ben, I know you're listening. Let's talk about watching True Blood with your brother, okay?
That too.
I got to hear this.
That too, that was awesome.
It's awkward. No, why am I watching this with you? No.
Yes, but yeah, you know, I get that movies are you know, it's a... the best hobby out there. Right.
Well,
to a lot
so
of people,
let's so. Also talk about this. So this is something I was reading because I read, I watch. I can't even tell you where I get what I did to find this information. But the opinion is that right now the independents, small guys, this is our time to shine because nothing's coming out, and so it's our time to put out something and people. Oh, watch it. And I know even at that, watching the Lucky Bomb Films YouTube channel, people are building. We currently have a film that came out over 3 years ago, and it's not something I necessarily pushed real hard in the beginning. The student film Nash Gray is up to like 621 views. I'll take that as a win. And with that, we've also got a few other things because we want to bring out stuff. We want to entertain people and educate people at the same time. And so right now it's us little people that have the opportunity because we do work in small groups. And I've been on a movie set. Disney has a lot of people on a movie set. I'll just leave it at that. Yeah. And that now that certain social distancing and control things are in, it's been harder to film.
Well, one thing I was thinking could be a model for the future if we do have theaters outside the homes is when I lived in Chico in 84, there was a guy who built out of sheer love. He built a theater in his garage in his house. It was called the Pageant Theater. We had all these other huge multiplexes in town. But this guy, I don't remember his name. It's probably long gone. But we used to see all the art films there. Like I see Powell and Pressburger. I saw Repo Man there the first time. Stop Making Sense by the Talking Heads. We got up and danced in the aisles. It was just this nice little intimate theater that this guy made in his garage with a sound system and a pretty large screen. And I'm wondering, the thing about theaters over us home videos tends to be confirmation bias. You're going to watch what you think you're going to watch, and you won't go outside your comfort zone. And one of the things about the theaters and taking a chance and going to see something new is it might expose you to something new and expand your palate. And, you know, I think there's something kind of, I don't want to be creepy here, but sort of inbred about, you know, just staying home, watching, being a fanboy of your own stuff and rotating that. It's nice to break up your routine and take a chance on something new. I'm wondering if we're going to have little guerrilla theaters in people's garages or something like that. You're still going to have to control COVID, but it's much easier with a small group.
Yeah, because what I've noticed in sales have been going up are home theater projectors and projector screens.
Oh, yeah. There's a sign right there.
So, yeah, you know, we know someone. Our friend Ed, he built one in his...
Who is Nash Gray, by the way.
Who is Nash Gray, by the way. He built one in his yard, you know, so that's kind of cool. So, you know, he did that at the beginning of the pandemic. Yeah. So, you never know.
I thought about it for my dad passes, and I... inherit the house, I think about turning the garage into a small theater or something like that. I mean, we haven't done anything else with it over the last 40 years or whatever. So, but he would wince at doing that, but I think it's a great idea. I'd love to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what? I'm pimping Lucky Bomb Films. You know it'd be great?
Why not?
If
it's our future.
What we could do is if we were to set up your garage like that, right?
We use it as a soundstage.
Well, not only that. No, if we set up like a theater, say, hey, we're going to do a Lucky Bomb film film collection, right? Pay $5 just to come see it and get it as a theater experience, which I think would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, why pay $5? We could just... Why not? It helps fund something we're doing.
Seriously, you know... That's, you know, it's like, seriously, because people can, like, why do I have to go to the movies? I could just find it online for free, you know? Another thing.
Again, but it's about the experience. Like Josh Brolin said, it's about the experience. And that's it. That's why we go to theaters. Like you said, little Chris goes to the autism awareness. It's because he can experience it with his peers. We've gone to movies where we went and saw Passion of the Christ.
Yes.
Which is a very...
bloody.
It's a good film. It's a very good film. If you believe in Christ and what the scriptures say, from a spiritual point, from a religious point of view, it's very much... It hits home to a lot of people on seeing what you've read. If you're just a fan... of a good story, it is. And I've watched that movie a few times, and I've watched it from the faith point of view, and I've watched it as a film, as another time, just as a film fan. Is that when we went and saw it in theaters, there's very few times that you stop and it's just dead silent. Another movie, Dead Silent.
Yeah, I liked Last Temptation of Christ by Scorsese, but it was a little too abstract for some people, I think. So
another movie that was that way, Avengers Infinity War. Mm-hmm. The way that movie ended.
Oh, yeah.
No sound. So the first time I saw it, nobody said anything. And me, because...
Yeah, that was stunning.
I like to mess with people. At the second time I saw it, that movie ended, I stood up like, woo! Yeah!
Party. But, yeah. Everybody's going to die.
So, again, and let's expound upon other things that are happening. Obviously, next weekend, the 15th of January, Marvel finally brings out something new, which they didn't even... I don't think we had anything new last year.
No, I don't think we did either.
They're bringing out WandaVision. I'm excited because it's something new from Marvel. I hear they're touching upon a storyline they did called House of M, which is very much centered... The story is centered around Wanda and her grief and her ability to bend reality, and that they're going to toy with this and multiverse type things in this series. So I'm excited about it because House of M was an amazing storyline. And then, you know, my personal favorite one that Disney's doing that I'm excited about, Falcon and Winter Soldier, because all of
a lot of people are waiting for that one.
Because I heard the third episode, I've not had it completely confirmed because I'm afraid to. They're going to introduce Wolverine in some form. I'm excited. Come on. Mm-hmm. Let's face it. X-Men in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is huge. Fox had their time with them. And, you know, those movies were hit and miss. Some of them were really good. Some of them, not so much. Honestly, Logan was the best thing they ever did. Logan was so good. That movie was one of those movies that it hit you emotionally. It really did. And then they came with the Dark Phoenix movie.
Could have been better. It was. I thought it was okay, but it could have been better.
But I will say the highlight of that movie was Dazzler. I'd been waiting to see Dazzler in an X-Men movie forever.
Yeah. But, you know, that's just things that are going to be different in 2021 in geek culture, you know, gaming, board gaming, because, you know, do we do it in big groups yet, or do we still do small groups, or how do we do this, you know? So if you were a big board gamer, D&D, all that stuff, you know, how do we do with that, you know?
Right.
Or in games where they have tournaments, chess and things like that. I mean, are people still going to get together and play in big groups? I don't know.
I think the social... I mean, if you do like FaceTime, Zoom, calling, whatever, I'm sure you could have something. You could probably play... you could do D&D on that, like if it's Discord, Twitch, and there you go. That is another thing I think. I think the technology with real-time communications is going to be a more focus with gamers. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, being a gamer, video gamer, it's one thing I could, hey, let's go play Call of Duty online. But you know what? I think that board gaming, card game, a game where you're playing in the room together right across the table, I think it adds a different level of intimacy.
It's a different mental strategy too.
It does. And I find when we started doing board game tabletop gaming that I was connecting better with my with the people I was around.
Well, I think online gaming, if you're going to do virtual stuff, we've seen in the world of video games, big online things, Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption, is people will cheat. And, you know, if you're not there to physically see the pieces, you got to go to extra lengths to make sure that, you know, there's patches put in so people can't hack into the system. With board games, it's simple and honest, and you're right there. You can see whether somebody's cheating. You can't, I guess to coin a phrase, game the game. So.
Yeah. So, I do know people that have done board gaming through Zoom. You know, if they both have the same game, they set it up on their end and the other one sets it up on their end, and then they play their pieces and then they play their pieces. I have seen people do that. You know, our oldest child, she's done through her streaming that she talks to her friends with. They've played Cards Against Humanity together. They've done Uno. She does Uno online. They do things like that, you know, but I, you know, I've not done any of that online with anybody because I'm thinking of wanting to get my cousin Caleb. He's going to school in North Dakota and starting up. He's does D&D with his roommates in his dorm room. But, you know, we were having a campaign before he left, and I would like to start back up with that. But the only way to do that with him would be to do it online. Yeah. And he was cool with that.
I had some friends last year that did. I know Chris knows who this is. They did the ping pong apocalypse where they had a ping pong battle online and people bet on who was going to win online. Not financially. There was nothing illegal going on. But it was kind of amusing. It was Brian and, what's his name? The Tom's hangout group. And I thought that was kind of funny. But I'm not sure, you know, is that going to cause a big, huge rage in ping pong? I doubt it.
So, I do, while we're on the subject, since we're talking about 2021 for geeks, and, well, the Geek Ultral experience is expanding. So, we are going to start doing a, kind of a weekly, actually, show on our YouTube channel. We're going to actually teach people how to play different board games, and we'll actually teach how to play by the rules, and then while we play a game by the rules, we maybe we'll do an alternate take down the line where we teach house rules, because I want to get into a full campaign of my favorite game, Zombicide, which there's house rules like crazy, because I'm going to be honest with you. There's things I don't agree with it.
And they're dragging me into this. I kind of look forward to it. It sounds fun. I love that morbid, apocalyptic stuff like that.
And with that being said, we're about to do a Buy Me a Coffee. It's like Patreon. And for that, it's going to go towards the brands. We're going to have a Buy Me the Coffee to where we will record, and you will get an exclusive Cards Against Humanity game where we play several hours of Cards Against Humanity. It's going to be unedited. You're going to hear some of the most messed up things. You're going to learn where all of our sense of humors are. You know, obviously there's going to be things that don't take anything personally, because it's never personal with us. And
just get me and Jen in on it. No, it'll right. be,
it's,
yeah.
It's going to be a good time. I'm going to pimp this out, because we're going to have a couple of these things going for the various brands. So it helps us fund other projects. We're going to be doing, Chris and I here are going to start doing a entertainment talk show that, when we do the Buy Me a Coffee on that, you'll get, we're going to do a 45, we're going to try to get a 35, 40 minute talk show in. But for paying the subscription, you're going to get several minutes more. And in those several minutes, they're going to be unedited, because if anybody, if you know me in real life.
Yeah. The two of us.
Me on this, I'm a professional, so I got you. I if you notice, I hardly ever use a four-letter word unless I'm really passionate. I mean, no, not even that. Unless under the subject. So for this, it's okay. But if you know me in real life, I am not. Yeah, I'm not censored. My kids know it. They know every word. They're and they're like, I'm sorry I'm saying that. Well. So, I'm just putting that out now, is that that's what 2021 is. The CK Project is taking off. Lucky Bomb Films is taking off. The Geek Ultral Experience is being redefined, and it's going to be more. And before you ask, I'm going to say, yes, I do sleep. Yes, I have time to organize everything. But more, just more of everything.
I'm thinking about doing a podcast. I'm learning at my age to do EDM and learn dance music and Ableton Live, and I'm maybe going to podcast the experience of what I've learned doing it and all the clumsy stuff that I have to go through in order to learn to be a pro. I don't know if everybody's interested or not, but that's a side thing.
Well, we will.
I'm pimping myself here. Sorry,
and
Chris.
No, it's fine. And you know what? We'll help, like with all our friends who are business owners or artists. We're gonna do something with it. And I also want to start another podcast where we interview people about what they do, what their main passions are, especially artists. Because I read somewhere that artists are the modern philosophers. And so, especially storytellers are the modern philosophers. And so there's a lot. And like I said, 2021... it's still early. We've got a COVID-19 vaccines are rolling out. I actually had a friend just take his first shot. Actually, I had several friends get their first dose. So if you believe what the pros say, we'll probably be on the downside of it by the end of summer. So maybe by the time 2022 happens, we'll be able to do the conventions again. We'll be able to experience things in person together. We'll be able to show you these experiences because, you know, we do. We film content for the Geek Ultra experience at WonderCon. We've had people watch. We've had people comment. And with that being said, we want interaction. We want these people. We want you who listen to talk to us. Say, hey, look, this is what I'm passionate about. Will you talk about it on a show? And if it's something we're not into, we'll talk about it anyways. We'll do a little bit of research. We'll try it out. We'll probably do some videos. If you're like, I'm into smelting. Okay, we'll learn. We'll try smelting just to try it. Into foraging. Hey, we'll try it. Why not? Into barbecuing. Well, there's an unfair advantage. I got barbecuers here.
Making lutefisk. Sorry, just kidding.
Well, you know. Hey, if you want to actually start visually seeing some of your hobbies done, let us know. Give us a time to try it out. Maybe we'll geek out over it too.
And if you've been playing a really whacked, low-key, under-the-radar game, let us know about it. And maybe we can see if it's worth pimping on the show.
Right. And if you guys, like, you watch our games, because we will have special episodes on just games, and we'll have special episodes on other things. And little Chris is about ready to have his cooking show going. And Sarah's about Deuce ready to have her cooking show going. That it's good. We're going to have a lot of content coming out. We're presenting it. If there's something you want to see, you know, I eat bariatric because I had weight loss surgery and we do a lot of meals with that. If there's something you like, you want to see, you want to learn, let us know. If you're into, I don't know, if you want to see people who don't fish, okay, hey, you can laugh at how good or bad some of us could be. If you're in, you know.
I'm looking for cosplayers in Rich Crest. Where are my cosplayers?
Yeah, we'll social distance and stuff, but we want to start, in particular, in our small community of Rich Crest. We want to get more geeks involved. Sarah wants to get the Coggle Society more involved. Even if we can't meet in person, she's gonna do some sort of meet, probably like a Facebook meet. That'd probably be the easiest way.
Yeah.
You know, get some activity. Let's get this geek thing going.
Yep.
Because in the end, the reason we're geeks is because it's something we're passionate about. One of the key things that all of us in here, including my kids, is we're passionate about filmmaking. And that's what we like doing. And that's honestly, just that by itself is what helps us present a lot of the stuff that we present in every other brand.
One of the few things I miss about the 80s is the 80s was a time it was cool to be a geek. We changed the fashion, and half the geeks I knew became punk rockers and started bands. So let's get that started again.
And at that, so I've been talking with my music friends, and I really want to start a music band. And for any reasons, if we record it, maybe for entertainment values on how horrible we are or how good we could be, I'm not going to lie, my musical friends are very good.
Thank you.
And it'd be fun. It's just having a good time doing what we can. Anybody got any more comments for this? As a matter of fact, because we're here and they are professional, I have ingrained professionalism in there. I have Deuce Keeling here just sitting here being a good boy, quiet. Do you have any expectations for what's going on in this year, 2021, for geeks? What is it you're looking forward to?
New dance party stuff.
I don't know.
All right, looking for more Just Dance
just
stuff?
Dance. Just Dance.
More
Just
video Dance. Games.
Yeah. You love your Just Dance.
What games are you looking forward to?
I don't know.
Okay, well, what about you, Lily? Do you have anything you're looking forward to this year? Okay, my kids suck anyways. It's okay. I love them anyways.
Yeah. I'm waiting for Hitman 2 to come out, which is about a month. So
I love the Animal Crossing's New Horizons stuff that comes out every month. That stuff's great.
You know, and the underrated game, I'll tell you, they came out last year. It was a bit weak. I actually kind of enjoyed it. Was Marvel's Avengers. I hope they put more into it, and I can't wait for more downloadable content. Kate Bishop came out last month. I am actually enjoying playing her more than I thought I would. Another glitchy game, but I know they'll fix it. I just downloaded Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh, I've been meaning to do that.
I'm eager to play it and check it out.
Yeah.
I've been all up on Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Well, that's a good one. Yes, watching. I don't normally play those ones because I have a hard time playing that mechanic of the game, but I watch him play them, and they're amazing. Yeah.
So, you know, and I do all of it, so it makes it a bit longer. I goof around.
I'm interested to see if Cyberpunk passes up Grand Theft Auto. It's kind of a new venture and basically a similar experience. We'll see.
I'm also, the Switch is very hard to find during this pandemic, as people have told me. And, they're finally coming back into stores and people are finally be able to buy them. But I've been looking at the eShop and a lot of games that we have for like the Xbox 360 that were bought on the Xbox store, the Microsoft store, you know, like one of my games is, it's a simple little 8-bit game, Scott Pilgrim. I love Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I love the movie. It's coming on. It's on the Switch now, and I was excited.
It's also coming on PlayStation Network.
And PlayStation Network, yes. You know, and I really like that, you know, and I like some of them that are coming to the Switch because, you know, the Switch is a great game that can be, you know, played on TV and as a handheld. And I really love that concept, you know, where you can take it with you anywhere and be able to play it as a handheld and hook it to your TV and play it. And, you know, and there's been a lot of fun games that have been coming on the Switch that, you know, our son Chris here, he loves Just Dance. He's a big Just Dance fan, and that is a great game. Talk about getting up and exercising. That is a great game to do. You know, it's a fun game.
Well, speaking of geek, instead of looking forward, I maybe go retro backward. It just occurred to me I've got like 14 different legacy video games. If anybody's interested in having me pull one out and review it or anything, I could do that. We've got the office space for it now. Maybe we could film it, put it online. I don't know. It's just a thought. It just came to me.
Yeah.
So I know people love to go back and retro collect. I go back as far as the Atari 7200. So
let me real quick pose a question to our listeners. Would it be of interest if the Geek Ultra Experience actually started a Twitch, and then you could watch us playing games, see how entertaining or how vulgar we can. I don't know. I don't know if we could get away with some of the words we say. Because
yeah.
even Deuce will say words. I don't get mad because I'm a gamer. I get it. Yeah. But, you know, we're trying to find more ideas to help bring people more interested in what they'd like to see. What would it be like? So, an idea came out. I was told, I was playing Animal Crossings, and just to, we're doing a comedy about vampires and group therapy, and a character I play is named Dante. I turned my character into Dante and played Animal Crossings, and we were wondering, would you be interested in seeing some of the characters we create actually play a video game in character? Would you be interested in that? Do you think it'd be entertaining?
Avatar TV.
Exactly. It'd be interesting, you know. Let us know like and subscribe, leave comments. Let us know what you think. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Tumblr. Let us know what you think. And give us ideas how we can be more into it. Because I know that more of our popular stuff has been gaming. In particular, one of our last episode on we did last year was on D&D with my good friend and my personal trainer, Sam Baskow. It's a popular episode. Is that what would you like more episodes of that? Would you like me to introduce local gaming clubs and do interviews with them? Would you like to get that kind of experience? You know, leave comments. Let us know what you feel. With that being said, any closing statements?
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
All right. With that being said, it's your boy, the director, Chris Keeling, and that's a wrap.